Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, we sing the praises of Zorn.
Herod Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Wendy, you were just privy to a conversation that usually guys just have on their own, a sports conversation. And I said, there's a guy on the team that Loyola played the other day, Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
And I thought his name was Admiral Stockdale, but it's not. It's Admiral Schofield. His first name is Admiral. His last name is Schofield.
Admiral Stockdale. Who's the guy who said, who am I and why am I here at the debate?
That
was him.
Ross Perot's running mate.
Yeah.
He was terrific.
Yeah, he was great.
And he had an inside game, too. But boy, this guy, Admiral, what's his name? Schofield?
Admiral Schofield.
That guy was a beast.
Don't you think when you name your child something like that, there's a lot of pressure on him? Because he sounds like he was a military leader decades ago.
It is such a great first name.
I love it.
Admiral.
He should change his name, Eric. It should be Admiral Zorn, and then it would be perfect with the theme song.
You're right.
He should hang out with Sergeant Shriver.
Right. And there's the character in Prairie Home Companion, Senator Torvalds.
Yeah, all those guys should pal around together. Tomorrow is a pretty big day in the world of politics here in Chicago.
Very exciting stuff going on. And to me, the most interesting thing lately has been this back and forth with Jeannie Ives, who's one of the Republican candidates for governor, running to the right of incumbent Governor Bruce Rauner.
The far, far right of...
The far, far right of him, yes. And so one of the things that Rauner has done, and I wrote a column about this recently, he has made these campaign commercials where he tries to make Jeannie Ives look like she's pals with Mike Madigan. And it's just, it is such an appalling
where she's defending
charge.
Him, right?
Well, the commercial is based on something that Jeannie Ives said during the debate here at the Tribune Tower. Mm-hmm. It's the only time the two of them have appeared together. And Rauner's carrying on about Mike Madigan's a crook. And Jeannie Ives says something like, well, here, there you go again, picking on Mike Madigan.
Yeah.
Her contention is that you have seen the reason we've seen 3.5 years of failure from Governor Rauner to get anything done, he's 0-44 on his turnaround agenda, is that all he knows how to do is pick fights with Mike Madigan. He calls him names, he calls him a crook, he says he's corrupt, and then he wonders why he can't make any deals, why Madigan is so stubborn. And so Jeannie Ives thinks, I know how to work with people. Mm-hmm. And that was her take. And she's and then she also said that she doesn't think that she could immediately roll back the tax increase that Madigan and the Democrats, along with some Republicans, pushed through last summer. Mm-hmm. And so she thinks that it can't be done immediately. Well, this to Rauner becomes that she's in favor of the tax hike, and he says that he can repeal it. Well, he just released a budget document where he proposes eliminating only like a little bit of it, like 25% of it, and only then if he gets some bank shot agreement from the suburbs to pay for their own teacher pension. So Rauner has no credibility on this at all, and for him to say that Jeannie Ives is in league with Mike Madigan is just the biggest lie of the campaign season. Anyway, so it gets better because the Democratic Governors Association decided they were going to get involved in this primary. They put out two ads over the weekend. They put $500,000 behind them. One of them is just a straight out attack on Governor Rauner for not getting anything done. And the other one looks like an attack on Jeannie Ives. It is framed as an attack on Jeannie Ives. Jasmine, do you have the audio from that first ad that ran?
Oh, let's hear that. All right.
It turns out Bruce Rauner is the Democrat Governor Association's favorite fake Republican. Rauner and his Democrat friends are attacking Jeannie Ives for being conservative. They don't like that Ives voted against the sanctuary state law Rauner signed. They don't like that Ives voted against taxpayer funding of abortion that Rauner signed. They don't like that Ives voted against the Chicago Public School bailout that Rauner signed. They don't like that Ives has been endorsed by National Review, the leading conservative journal in America. Fake Republican Rauner and his Democrat friends don't like Jeannie Ives, which is why you should.
Now, this was actually the second ad that ran, but when she says Governor Rauner and his Democratic friends, that's from Jeannie Ives. Now, that's a complete lie, too. I mean, this is the idea that Rauner and Madigan are somehow friends is completely false. But that ad is a response to the other ad that – do we have the audio from that also?
Yes.
I sent her two. Can we play that one? Because I think that's the one that ran first.
This is the first one.
The first one, yeah.
When is a conservative leader too conservative for Illinois? Meet Jeannie Ives. She's been rated as one of the most conservative in the state. Ives wants to ban abortions. She has an A rating from the NRA, pushing to arm teachers and stop new gun laws. And on immigration, Ives marches in lockstep with President Trump, trying to eliminate protections for undocumented immigrants. Tell Jeannie Ives, her conservative policies are just too conservative for Illinois.
Okay, now that's the first ad that ran, and that's from the Democratic Governors Association. Mm-hmm. You've got to remember that Democrats would hear that and they would think, well, I'm never going to vote for Jeannie Ives. But Democrats are not voting for or against Jeannie Ives on Tuesday.
Right.
Tuesday it's a primary.
Right.
And you pick, you know, your Republican ballot, a Democratic ballot. This ad is, you know, ostensibly attacking Jeannie Ives, but if you watch it, first of all, the pictures of Jeannie Ives are actually pleasant looking. And generally attack ads, they take the black and white,
right, the ugliest,
with a bad expression.
Yep.
And the tone of voice is fairly mild too. It's not one of those like, Jeannie Ives,
right,
how dare she draw breath in
right,
our society,
yeah,
after all the things she's done. Another couple things to notice about that ad, again, is when they talk about abortion. Okay,
yes.
If a Democrat is actually trying to, you know, gather support for a position in favor of reproductive choice, they will talk about choice. They'll talk about women's rights. They don't use the word abortion in their ads for their candidates. Another thing to listen to is when they talk about gun laws. This wording is designed to appeal to conservative voters.
Yeah.
The Democrats want Jeannie Ives to beat Bruce Rauner. And Rauner knows this. Rauner has been raising a stink about this ad
because she would, if everything goes according to plan, be easier to beat.
Well, there's this long tradition. And if you remember Alan Keyes,
yeah,
when they brought in Alan Keyes to run, yeah, against Barack Obama, I mean, he's like a, you know, far right nut job, basically, and he got clobbered.
Yeah.
There was also Al Salvi, who ran for Senate, who was pretty far right. He got clobbered. Jim Oberweis ran for Senate on the far right. He got clobbered. Pretty much across the board, if you are a far right candidate in Illinois is a fairly purple to blue state.
Yeah.
And you run someone who is that far to the right. And Jeannie Ives has stuff in her background. If you remember the ad that she ran attacking
the transgender
with a man in a dress and
yeah,
so on. And she just the other day, she I think on this radio station, actually, she gave an interview with Cochran, I think, where she was saying that some transgender people are predators, and she was like trying to draw this whole social conservative stuff in really down far right, where she's going to be very hard to elect.
She said that on the air?
I believe she did. Wow. Yeah, I didn't hear it, but I heard about it. So we can.
Interesting.
This could be fake news. I don't think so, though. I mean, it is of a piece with her. I mean, she's a unapologetic far right conservative. And I respect her for being that.
You know what you're going to get with her.
You know what you're going to get with her, but I think the Democrats really believe that she is going to be easy to beat for whoever is nominated.
But don't you think, Eric, that world has been shaken? Like, there was a time where strategically you'd say, I hope we're up against the easiest person to beat, but after what happened with the presidential election last time, I wonder if those rules are out the window.
Well, you're exactly right, Bill, and that's what I concluded my column on this on Sunday by saying, be careful what you wish for, because
yeah,
I was one of the people in 2015 and 2016 who was saying, like, Donald Trump, excellent.
Yeah.
The Republicans are going to nominate Donald Trump. He's going to be so easy to
right,
beat. He's got so many flaws. He's
yeah,
said so many ridiculous things. No way could he win the election, and that would grease the way for someone whose views are more in line with my own.
Right.
That turned out to be, not that my rooting interest played any role in this, but just that sense of, like, yeah, this would be great if he were nominated, the most extreme candidate. It's possible.
Yeah.
The way things go, that if you nominate someone who's on the far right and the voters are energized and they get out to the polls, and this is what we're really looking at tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
We are looking at whether I don't know any Republicans. I should say this off the top of my head. I don't know any Republicans who are really enthusiastic about Bruce Rauner, who really think, yeah, this guy, he's got a lot done because he ain't got anything done.
Yeah.
They see him as a check on the Democrats, on Mike Madigan, and that's how he's run his entire campaign. So far, he's run against J.B. Pritzker, saying Pritzker is a friend of Madigan's. Now he's going after Jeannie Ives, saying she's a friend of Madigan's. It's Rauner is, you know, noun verb Mike Madigan. That's what he,
right,
that's how he is running.
Right.
I know that Republicans are enthusiastic about beating Mike Madigan. I don't know very many Republican voters who are enthusiastic about Rauner. I've heard from a number of Republicans who are enthusiastic about Jeannie Ives.
Interesting.
Because she is someone who speaks to those base voters.
Yeah.
I heard from a woman yesterday who said, you know, why did you write this? Because conservative voters already know about Jeannie Ives. And I wrote back and said, I don't think that a lot of them do. I think, you know, I'm a political geek, and it seems like you are too. But honestly, a lot of people are just tuning into this. I mean, finding out who these candidates are. And so there are people, and there are people downstate. The early polls show Jeannie Ives had, like, no name recognition at all.
Right.
So people are starting to come around to this, and the idea that the Democratic Governors Association is meddling in this election and drawing attention, doing this ad where they're saying, like, gun laws. and the Republicans are going, yeah, that sounds good to me. You know, she's in lockstep with Donald Trump on undocumented immigrants, however they put it. That's something that's designed to appeal to Republican voters.
Right, sure.
And so what they're trying to do is get that name recognition up. Jeannie Ives' campaign has spent, I think, $3 million for me. This is another $500,000 basically spent on behalf of Jeannie Ives. And Rauner's making this case like this ought to be an in-kind contribution to Jeannie Ives, even though the ad never says she's a good candidate. It is a great political dirty trick.
All right, more of this discussion next. It's a big day, a big election day tomorrow. Eric Zorn is here from the Tribune. We'll come back and discuss this further. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about the primaries tomorrow. One thing I think you'll have to agree with me, it's fun to say Fritz Kagi, isn't it?
It's fun to say Fritz Kagi.
I like saying Fritz Kagi.
I'm thinking he's going to win.
I really think he is.
And the reason is that
this is for
county assessor running against Joe Berrios, who's been there for two terms. And there's been these recent reports from ProPublica Illinois and the Tribune and also several independent reports that the assessment process in Cook County is all screwed up.
Yeah,
and
because of Joe Berrios?
And it's hurt. Well, he hasn't fixed the system. Yeah. The argument could be that this has been screwed up for a long time.
Yeah.
He's had 8 years. It's still really screwed up. And it's hurting low-income people more than high-income people. And so he's got a lot of friends and family on the county payroll, and Kagi is definitely an outsider coming in. And
let's have a Kagi party. That's what I say.
Kagi
stands. Throw a Kagi.
We'll do Kagi stands.
Yes.
And people are saying, well, but Berrios is backed by the party, and that means a lot in a primary. Turnout is not all that high in primaries, and so if you have people walking the streets, knocking on doors for you, you can generally pull a pretty good turnout. But I'm thinking back 2 years ago when Anita Alvarez was the county state's attorney, and she was under a lot of fire. Kim Fox was running against her in the primary and had the same kind of coalition behind her, a lot of progressives, a lot of people who really were interested in change. And if you remember, Kim Fox just clobbered Alvarez. I mean, really, really beat her badly. So I think we're in a different era in Cook County politics right now and in Chicago politics, where the support of the insiders, the organizations, the unions, and so on, is not what it used to be. So it's not a foregone conclusion.
Isn't that surprising?
Well, I don't know if it's so surprising.
So
I think that there's a certain independence in voters. I think social media has played a big role in this.
Yeah.
The Tribune has attacked Berrios relentlessly, and it's sort of a bipartisan thing. I mean, everyone from me to Cass, everyone, we're all jumping on this
but
bandwagon.
Let's say you were getting attacked regularly from a major newspaper like the Tribune. Wouldn't you say to yourself, well, I guess the best way to do it is to really do the job that I was hired for, to try harder and make it better. That doesn't seem to have happened, does it?
Well, in fairness, I don't know if I want to say in fairness, but these reports all just came out last year.
Yeah.
And the most recent reports have just come out this year, confirming the reports from last year. So it's not like he's had a whole bunch of years with these reports in his face, but the argument would be that he knew about this. He had to know about this.
Right.
This is his job. The only job of an assessor is to feel he doesn't set the property tax rates, right? You know, if your property taxes are high or low where you live, that's not Joe Berrios' fault.
Yeah.
He's the guy whose job it is to determine what your house is worth, what your business is worth, what this property is worth. And then they take that the total levy, the amount of money that the governing bodies want, and they divide the pie up, and your share of the pie is determined by the assessment. So that's not the fact that property taxes are high is
but
not
a lot of times they do
fault.
It by driving past your house.
Well, they do it. I mean, one thing, it's a very strange situation because they have this where they do the assessment.
But they don't even go inside sometimes.
Oh, they don't
drive past your house.
They don't go inside. They're looking for comparable properties. It's a kind of a haphazard situation. And then they have they brag that, well, you can always go and appeal your taxes, and some incredibly high percentage of appeals are upheld.
Yeah.
We do it every year, and it is.
They'll lower your assessment. So what's going on here? They should be more. When they look at it again, they should say, well, we had it right the first time. They should get it right more often the first time. You would think.
Yeah.
So that's a race a lot of people are going
to do. Fritz Kagi will fix all that.
Fritz Kagi says he's going to fix all that. We'll see. I mean, this happens. You know, people will come in and say, I'm going to be the reformer. I'm the voice of change. And then they get in the office and go, it's not as easy as I thought to change things. Happens all the time.
We only have a minute, but the biggest one to watch is...
The biggest one to watch is the 3rd Congressional District. It's incumbent Dan Lipinski, Democrat, running against Democrat Marie
Newman.
That's
my district.
It's Wendy's district. And essentially the...
And Krista McQuarrie's, I believe.
It may be.
It's suburbs and part of Chicago.
Yeah, but it's south-southwest.
Uh-huh.
And Lipinski's been around since 2004 when his father just decided to back out after the primary and got the party to put his son in office.
Mm-hmm. Who could we put in my place?
Who would be good? Let's look around the dinner table. And anyway, just real quickly, he's a very conservative Democrat. He's anti-abortion. He did not support Barack Obama's re-election. He did not support Obamacare. Marie Newman is running as a very progressive Democrat. And this is seen... nationally, this is seen as a question of where is the Democratic Party? Is it with the sort of moderate to conservative Democrats like Lamb, who won in the Pennsylvania special election last week, or is it with the more progressive, you know, the Bernie Sanders end of the party where Marie Newman is? It's an imperfect analogy here, but it's the one that I think when you turn on MSNBC, CNN, Fox News tomorrow night, that's the race they're going to be talking about, not our governor's race.
Right. Eric, thank you.
Going to
big
be
day
really
tomorrow. That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Read him there. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream in just a few moments. You can join us there. We'd love to have you, or stick around here for the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll find out what Steve has next. It's WGN.